Six grade 6 and 7 students in the shoe swap have a long bus ride ahead of them this year. They had enrolled at Silver Creek School, but this year the school will be a K-5 school, meaning those kids will need to get to Salmon Arm instead. You might remember Silver Creek. We talked about it in the spring when parents were fighting to keep it open. The school board voted to do just that, and parents responded with higher enrollment. It's up from 38 students to 50 kids on the first day of classes. However, the district says it is unable to open another classroom for just 6 students older than grade 5. Seeing some students still forced to head to the city has some parents worried. Noah Ralston is one of them. He has a son in grade 5 at Silver Creek, and he joins us on the line now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What was it like for these children to realize that they'd be going to school somewhere else?
Well, it's been a very emotional week for both students and parents. I think the most heartbreaking moment was when one of the students sort of came running out at the end of the day there up to one of the teachers on supervision and just said, they're sending us away. So, you know, there's a lot of emotion, and some of these students have been at the school since kindergarten, and, you know, they've come through last year. We're keeping the school open. Everything's voted. It looks like it's happening, and then sort of blindsided everyone. So there's a lot of emotion and upsetness.
And they began the school year at Silver Creek, right?
Yes. Yeah. Nobody saw it coming. We had the 50 enrolled, and then a few days later we were at 53, and everyone is excited. We're growing the school, and the district was in a real tight situation this year with our whole district grew, and it put them in a spot where they were trying to figure out where they could add divisions and where they couldn't.
What will this mean for their bus ride? How long will they be riding that yellow school bus?
For some of them, it's long. One this morning was explaining to district staff that they're a 6:30 pickup, and they'll be going to a school that starts at 8:20. So, and they'll be driving by the school that they've gone to their entire life on the way. So it's an hour and a half bus ride plus wait, so 2 hours before school starts, and then on the way back home.
That is a long time. You do acknowledge, though, that the district was in a tough position, and it couldn't rationalize, it says, opening another classroom just for 6 students. What do you make of that?
Well, it's not just 6. There is a 7th, that a grade 3 that's been not allowed to enroll. The school is now fully at maximum capacity. And part of the discussion that's been going on is the last year, the main concerns were the bus ride and the removal of children from one community to put them in a different community. And that was really acknowledged. And that's where the Board of Trustees, they ended up voting to keep the school open and to look at growing the school as a K-8. And this decision is going against that. We're now closing grades 6 and 7. We're not just choosing a few kids that maybe live on that end of town. Reconfiguring the school to a K-5 for this year and without consultation, and sending those kids on a long bus ride, which is what the trustees had voted against.
If the school district, though, says it doesn't have the money to open that space for those number of students, what do you suggest they do?
Well, one of the questions that a lot of the parents have been asking is Silver Creek, the province provides specific funding for rural small schools, and we receive $157,500, which is the equivalent of about 22 students. Now, our district, and I would support them in this in one level, doesn't try to create have schools and have not schools. It tries to pool all the resources and then redistribute it back out. This year, however, other schools were growing, and we're now becoming a giving school, I suppose. But we're curious as to why the small schools grant itself isn't designated for Silver Creek. That's one of the areas, so there is extra money that's being brought in. So that's our first response.
I understand you have a son in grade 5.
Yes.
And does that mean that this could be his last year at Silver Creek?
It's possible, and we would hope that, hopefully not, there is a committee that's been put together to look at bringing Montessori and K-8, growing the school to K-8. One thing that everyone has to sort of re-realize is Silver Creek and the Salmon Valley is a beautiful area, and families who are looking for places to move are moving there. It's affordable and whatnot, and our census data shows that we are growing. So it may be a one-year kind of thing, as we figured out when our numbers are stronger in the bottom, but that doesn't help these children right now who are being told your school of life is now, you're being removed, you're being sent to another community, and this may not be the best thing educationally, but this is what we have to do because the district isn't being given enough money from the province.
You had a meeting scheduled with your local MLA, but it was canceled. Do you know why?
This has been a very emotional weekend. There's been a lot of movement, and I think the prospect of I think his staff was uncomfortable with placing him in a setting where you have a lot of upset people. So they canceled the meeting at the school, and they rebooked it to a new location at a different time. And people had taken time off to try and meet with him, but it wasn't going to work. They have been very fair in sort of saying, okay, we can meet again in the future at his office, not at the school. And I understand the what they were trying to avoid, and there was some uncertainty as to how many people might arrive. But this morning, the district, school district, provided someone to come out. It was the first time that someone from central staff came out, and we were able to, as a group of parents, all in the parking lot, lots of tears, lots of emotion, but we were able to be very civil and have a conversation. And I think that's a big thing that's missing, is just allowing people to be heard and then figuring out a way to work with people. So that was good for our district to send someone this morning, and I think hopefully our politicians will do the same.
How long do you fight this? I mean, at what point does it become more disruptive for the kids to know this is still being fought, and maybe, you know, maybe it's better off at some point to just allow them to be at this new school?
Oh, yeah. And that was a big conversation over the weekend, and we're trying to support the students as best as we can within their transition and sort of keeping the discussion and the everything else outside of the classroom while trying to support them as much as we can. And that's why we didn't have any issue with the changing of the MLA appointment. There is an appeal process that has started. The students were given notice that they would be removed, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember, and on Friday we were given appeal forms. And so families of the students that are affected, we're still trying to track down a couple, will be able to appeal the process. And I don't know the full routine of that, but hopefully that will end with some sort of resolve that helps. Mm.
Okay, Noah, we'll have to leave it there for right now, but thank you very much for joining us.
You bet. Thank you.
That is Noah Ralston. He has a son attending Silver Creek School, southwest of Salmon Arm. Now, for more on this story, Glenn Borthistle is on the line. He is the North Okanagan Shoe Swap School District Superintendent. Good afternoon.
Hi, Rebecca.
What do you make of Mr. Ralston's concerns?
Well, I think we need to start off by acknowledging the emotion in the community and with the students. It's very understandable that, especially on the heels of the school closure conversation last year, that this has generated an emotional response. In terms of the district process, we are normally in the situation at this time of year when we have to have conversations at some schools about certain grades or certain schools being full. And we have to talk about them going to the next closest school. So this is a normal part of the first week process. When Mr. Ralston refers to the fact that nobody saw it coming, it's because, as with most schools, we make predictions about how many students will be there. And then on the first day, once we actually see the whites of their eyes, then we have to move very quickly because we don't want to move students too late in the year. We want to get them into their classes at the first possible opportunity.
And there was no way around keeping these kids enrolled in their current school?
Well, the difficulty and the consideration that the district has to make is providing a equity of service around the district. We have a broadly dispersed district with 23 schools, and we try to provide a level of service that's common in all of our schools. And so our consideration was adding a third division to a school that, while it is growing, it would still be less than 60 students. And so adding a third division was a difficult move to make in light of all of the other class size pressures and issues at all the other schools around the district.
We heard Mr. Ralston talk about some special funding that he figured could be available. What about that?
Yeah. So there is a small schools grant that is part of the funding formula. I guess I would have two responses to that. One is, like Mr. Ralston said, we don't allocate schools on a sort of a pay-as-you-go basis. If we were to do that, we would indeed create have-and have-not schools. my second response is that the school is, or our whole district is in a system called funding protection, where we're not actually on a per pupil funding basis right now. Our total funding is on a percentage of our previous year's funding. And so the small schools grant, while an interesting piece of information, doesn't specifically apply in this situation.
And there was no way to potentially reconfigure classrooms to somehow keep these students where they were?
You know, we do need to operate within the bounds of ministry guidelines and the collective agreement, and there are strict class size numbers at the lower end. Once you get above grade four, there's a little bit more flexibility, and you can have consultations with teachers, but at the lower end, you can't. And that's where the growth is in the school, which is great, and we want to support that growth at the primary grades to allow the school to grow year upon year.
And will you reassess as we head into the following year? Is there a chance that grade six could return to the school?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we will, you know, again, look at the numbers and make our projections and assign staffing accordingly.
Okay. Glenn Borthistle, thank you very much for this.
Thanks, Rebecca.
That is Glenn Borthistle. He is the superintendent of the North Okanagan Shuswap School District.